Third portion of scripture tonight comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and my Uncle Dave will read you from the beginning of Matthew's Gospel.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? He saw his star in the east, and he came to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ that was to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found them out from them an exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Amen. Thank you. Hear the word of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word that gives us light, gives us instruction. It shows us the way to life. It shows us Jesus. And dear Father, we just pray that your Spirit would be working here tonight in power, sealing to our hearts your word and instructing each and every one, drawing each and every one close to you, and giving life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, so tonight we have heard from the prophets, the Psalms, and the Gospels. the clear testimony of the New Testament writers, the apostles of our Lord Jesus, people like Matthew, a clear testimony of them about him is that this man, they could point to and they could speak about him plainly and familiarly because they knew him. This man is the one who has been written about from of old, ever since our fathers died and long since before that. These things have been written about that such a one would come, some descendant of King David, and every nation will bow the knee to him. Every nation. Do we live in a nation? Yes, yes, we do. Every nation will bow the knee to him. And as you have heard tonight, my friends, he will rule from shore to shore. He will rule in equity and in righteousness. Scripture says he's going to lift up the lowly, and he's going to confound the wise and the conceited. He's going to get rid of the oppressor and the evildoer and the proud of heart. But those who are humble and those who are repentant, who call upon the name of the Lord and who walk in his ways, he's going to give them deliverance. That is the hope to which we cling as Christians, that Jesus Christ will come and he will reverse everything that is evil about this world. That is our hope, and it's a rock-solid hope because the mouth of the Lord has spoken ever since our fathers passed away, and so it will be done. You yourselves have heard those words this evening, and so I beg you to pay careful attention to them. And if those were not enough from Isaiah, the Psalms, and Matthew, we have many more where that came from. Pay careful attention to the word of God. You've heard Matthew say that such and such was the fulfillment of the prophecy. He says that over and over again in his gospel. It's proof, it's evidence. See, this is what God said was going to happen. This is God's way of telling you, the reader, that you have to reckon with this one who was born in Bethlehem. Okay, it's not simply that we need to come into his house on December 24th. We have to reckon with Jesus Christ because God has spoken, he has decreed, he's declared that he is going to bring all things to completion and fulfillment in Christ Jesus, just as the scripture says, let all kings bow down to him and do him honor. Let all nations serve him, for he will deliver the needy and the afflicted also he will rescue. Okay, this is also, by the way, any of you who may be stressed, depressed, down and out, or confused, or aimless, groping around in the dark for spiritual truth, this is God's way of telling you that this is the way. This is the way to God. This is the way to life. Unto you, my friends, is born a Savior. Unto you, it's for you, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, as the hymn says. Lately, I've been thinking in particular about one of the other New Testament writers, and that's John, particularly the first chapter of John. In our Sunday school class, we've been going through the first chapter of John for a couple of weeks. And John 1 is typically read around Christmas time also because it speaks about the incarnation, this hard-to-grasp mystery that the Word of God, this divine logos, this divine wisdom, who is both alongside God and God, was at some identifiable point in history. If you read Luke, you see that they pin down the time in history. Such and such was governor of Syria. Such and such was the emperor. Such and such. Okay, they can pin down the day that at some time in history, the divine wisdom came into the world from the invisible realm and took upon himself that which was beneath him, that is human nature, human flesh, so that a broken human race, a corrupt race, an ignorant race, a helpless race could be salvaged, okay? So that we could be redeemed instead of having to be discarded, so that we don't have to be rejected, but we can be delivered. Okay, that's God's mercy, that his wisdom was incarnate in human flesh. I want you to hear the testimony of John. Okay, this is a man who knew the Lord personally. Okay, the man who knew the Lord personally. He says this: in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Notice the use of the word he. It's not an it, it's a he, okay? A personage, someone with will, something with emotion, something with intellect, a he. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life. And that life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not comprehended it. Now that is, that particular verse, that's John 1:5, that's been on my mind a lot lately, that the light has come into the world and shone in the darkness. And by and large, it has just gone over people's heads. The darkness does not comprehend it. We just do not understand. All right, John goes on, and speaking about another man called John the Baptist. He says, a man sent from God, whose name was John, he came to bear witness to the light. Okay, John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord, and he came, pointed at him, and said, there's the Lamb of God. There's the one who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, John the Baptist came to bear witness to the light of the world, so that through him, that is, so that's through Jesus, all might believe. Okay, John the Baptist came to witness to Jesus so that all might believe. Now, John was not the light. He only came to bear witness to the true light. The true light which gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world. Here it is again. He was in the world, but though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. Okay, the same idea. And he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. There it is again. But to anyone who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, to be born not the way people are normally born, born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a husband, but born of God. Just like Jesus said, you have to be born from above. You must be born from God, and not everyone is born in that way. John goes on and says, that word became flesh, a human being like you and me, and he dwelt among us. He says, I and my companions knew him. We saw him. We dined with him. He walked among our countrymen. We have seen his glory, the glory of the unique begotten one of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. John says, we have received, me and my companions, we have received of his fullness. We have received grace upon grace. And he concludes, although no one has ever seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made God known to us very plainly. He has plainly made God known to us. Okay, so these are the words of an eyewitness. We have seen his glory, he says. I have seen his glory. I and others, we were with him. We were there on the top of the mountain with him when the voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son whom I love. Listen to him. We saw his face shine like the sun. We saw his garments become glistening white, brilliant white, and it made us afraid until he said to us, don't fear. Do not fear, little children. He says, it's pleased God to give you a kingdom. Take heart and do not fear. These are the words of an eyewitness. We have seen him live again after he was crucified. Now, my friends, people don't live again. But he did. We saw him alive again after he died. We looked into his tomb, and there was a man there, and the man said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He arose just like he said he would do. He isn't here. And he ate and drank with me and my companions. He appeared to us. He said, here, touch me. Go ahead, touch me. See that it really is I. And we saw the nail mark in his hands. We saw the spear thrust in his side. We saw him go up and be taken up into a cloud. I saw it with my own two eyes, and I testify to you, that is my Lord and my God. They are the words of an eyewitness. We have come to his light. We have known God because of him. We know the truth because of him. We discarded the delusions of our youth because of him. And we have received blessing upon blessing because of him. This is what we know now, okay? When he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we first met him, we perhaps didn't know everything there was to know about him. But now we know this one was from the beginning. He is the one and only. He is the uniquely begotten one of God the Father. He has existed from eternity. He's the declaration of God. And he declared God to us. You cannot know God unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. John says that is our testimony, that he is the light that God sent into the world so that the whole world, so that every man might come to know God. And so don't you see how sad and in fact ironic and pitiable are his words, this remarkable fact that though Jesus Christ is the very maker of the world, that when he came to visit his own creation, it found him incomprehensible. It found him unacceptable. It found him unbearable. Hey, the verse 5 says, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. By the grace of God, a light was sent into the world. Okay, what does he mean by darkness? He means a world that is groping around for spiritual truth. The world Christ came into was the same as our current world, a world that worshipped stones, worshipped the stars, worshipped the trees, worshipped the animals, a world that puts its trust in astrology and cards and crystals and potions and things, a world that pursues achievement and riches and status and power and rank, hateful and hating each other. That's the kind of world that Christ came into. That's what the scripture says. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to his son in the faith, Titus. He tells his own testimony, and probably I could echo this testimony. He says, you know, Titus, how we too once were also in darkness. I was, don't you? Weren't you too, Titus? Okay, those of you here in this room who have come to the light that God has shined into your hearts, you can testify the same thing as well. You can say it. I can say it. We ourselves also once were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. That's a great word for darkness, right? Deceived. Okay, we're living in a lie. We're living under an untruth. We're deceived. Until that one came from the Father and he shone the light of God into our heart. You know, God actually said, in my heart, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, I too was once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving assorted lusts and pleasures, just like the whole mass of mankind, living in malice and envy, as the scripture says, hateful and hating each other. But then the kindness of God appeared to me. The kindness of God came into the world. The love of our Savior toward man appeared, and he saved us. My brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, can you not testify to the same thing too? We were once ignorant. We were once foolish. We were once in darkness, and Christ came. He came into a dark world to give light to every man. Came into a world filled with death, filled with a culture of death, just like we live in now, to give life, to give it to every man. Look how we're surrounded by death. Look how we're surrounded by despair. Look how we're surrounded by deceptions. And Christ came into the world to plainly show to us God the Father, the invisible God. He came to dispel our delusions. He came to, as the hymn says, disperse the gloomy clouds of night. He came to grant us immortality, to cleanse us, and to wash us, and to give us new birth. But the most amazing puzzle of all puzzles is that when he came, he was not received, not by very many. Astoundingly, it says in the scriptures that men preferred their darkness. Okay, we sang in one of our hymns tonight, thou camest, O Lord, with thy living word that should set thy people free. He came to set us free from our prison. But what happened instead? With mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. That's unbelievable. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if only you had known the things that would make for your peace. But now they're hidden from your eyes." Who is going to receive him? Who is going to come to the light that John speaks of? Who will receive grace upon grace? It's the simple-hearted. It's the simple-hearted who received him. The sophisticated and the educated and the proud, they have no use for him. Okay? Tell me, we read it in Matthew, why didn't the guys, the educated guys in Herod's court, why didn't they go with the Magi? These foreigners come in from out of town and say, we came to worship the one who's born king of the Jews. And they say, oh yeah, Bethlehem, we know that from the scriptures. Don't you want to go see him? Why didn't they go with the Magi? They knew the scriptures. They had no use for him. They felt no need. In their conceit, they felt no need. Though he is called king of the Jews, they had no desire to bend the knee to him. But to those who did receive him, to those who did say, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. They are given the right to be adopted by God, to be born from above, and to have life in his name. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, is it not also your testimony, along with John's tonight, that since you have welcomed Christ into your heart, since you have prepared room for him, that you have received one blessing after another? Is it not your testimony? Testify to it. Shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ into a dark world. They need it. They need it. Give them comprehension. Tell them what you have seen and what you know. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is certainly room in my heart for thee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just simply ask you again, Lord God, that you would cleanse our hearts from our guilt. We know that we have received the forgiveness of sins in your Son, Jesus. And we just ask, dear Father, that you would use us. Use us to be little lights in the world. Use us to bring others to the knowledge of the light, knowledge of the truth. Thank you for your promise of resurrection and everlasting life in the kingdom of your dear Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the words to Silent Night are in the bulletin. I'm going to come down and light my candle. And I trust all of you have a candle. Does anybody not have a candle? Why don't we stand together? Amen. Brothers and sisters, before we go, I'd just like to pause a moment and consider in the quietness of our hearts what the Lord God has done for us. What is the thing that we are so blessed to be remembering tonight? That a little boy was born on a certain day. And as the hymn says that we have just sung, it was the dawn of redeeming grace. It was the beginning. In one way, it was the beginning of God's program to save us from our sins. If that boy had lived a normal life, like yours or mine, you would not be saved. If he had ever sinned, you and I would not be saved. His death would only have paid, perhaps, for his own sin. But he had no sin. However, it was not just something that happened in a corner, as the scripture says. It's not something that just happened unexpectedly or completely unannounced. Prophets foretold it from a long time before, that in the city of Bethlehem, one of the descendants of David would arise, and he will be the king forever and ever. This is the beginning of the story. In a few months, we'll celebrate Easter, which is the next stage in the story. Christ arose from the dead, and then someday we will see him again face to face when he comes to finish everything that God has said will occur. Everything that you have heard tonight about him upending the world and restoring righteousness, rescuing the needy, putting down the evildoer. We fully expect all of this to come to pass. It's a great blessing to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not belong to the Lord Jesus, then I would invite you to inquire further and find out if these things indeed are true. Indeed they are. Let's bow for prayer. And then I'll dismiss you with the blessing of God. Father, thank you again for our time together tonight. Thank you for this safe house of yours, Lord, where we can gather with brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, reflect upon your coming into the world in the person of your Son. Thank you, Lord God, for the great thing that you have done in reaching down to broken and crooked and sinful people like myself and my brothers and sisters here, lifting us up to eternal life, washing us clean, taking away our guilt, and giving us the promise of resurrection to eternal life. Father, may you bless each household that's represented here tonight. May you bless each heart. May your Spirit bring conviction and the knowledge of eternal life to each and every one. And Lord God, use us to do your good work in the world until that day comes when you will come again and be the king of your creation as you deserve to be. And Father, now send us away full of grace and full of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, go with God.